Good morning on this Pentecost morning. Years ago, my husband would brew his own beer, and I remember that elaborate setup he had for cleaning his bottles so they could be reused. I can also really remember that smell of bleach that would permeate the kitchen for hours. In the whole brewing process, the step of cleaning the bottles is really important. The beer could end up tainted if put into bottles that have remnants of the last batch left in them. New beer requires a new, or at least a newly cleaned, bottle. This came to mind after thinking about the naysayers in the crowd in Jerusalem, accusing the disciples of being full of new wine. And in a sense, this is true, although not drunk in the way that they were suggesting. In the disciples, we see vessels that have been prepared by the Holy Spirit and made ready for new wine, ready to accept and share the love of God with spiritual gifts, allowing all who were open to listening hear their message. And in the critics, we see vessels not quite ready yet. They are still filled with old assumptions and expectations. References to wine throughout the Bible, both in the New and the Old Testaments, we see wine as a gift. We hear of Jesus at the wedding at Cana being convinced by his mother to save the bride's father from embarrassment by turning water into wine so that the joy of the celebration of the wedding could continue. And of course, when we celebrate the Eucharist, it is in the elements of the bread and wine that we receive the gift of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. So indeed, when the critics accused the disciples at Pentecost of being full of new wine, symbolically they weren't far off. But I love Peter's response to the critics who would suggest that they were actually intoxicated or drunk. He brings them right back to God's word through the prophets. He says, "Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Peter is explaining that their assumptions are no longer in line with God's reality. He is bringing them back to what they have learned throughout their lives as Jews. And this is a different Peter than we read about in the four Gospels, right? In the Gospels, we have a Peter who would leap before he looked, who would speak before he thought. In Acts, however, he is clearly still boldly speaking out, but the words spoken are no longer impetuous, but they're wise. They are grounded in Scripture and shaped by the Holy Spirit. We must remember, right, that after the crucifixion, the disciples had been afraid for their lives and locked the door of the upper room when they met together. In fact, Peter was so afraid immediately following the crucifixion that he denied even being an acquaintance of Jesus. We do see Peter's courage demonstrated on several occasions throughout the Gospels, but when Peter trusted in his own strength, it inevitably lets him down. It led him to step off a boat onto the water and then sink. It led him to rebuke Jesus when Jesus spoke of his impending death. But this same courage, now supported by the Holy Spirit rather than Peter's own strength, has truly transformed Peter into the rock on which the Christian church is built. On this day, the day of Pentecost, Peter was no longer afraid. The disciples were no longer afraid. The coming of the Holy Spirit transformed the disciples from fear to confidence. The Holy Spirit gave them the courage to go out into Jerusalem and declare the resurrection of Jesus to a city whose people had just weeks earlier called for Jesus' death. Pentecost was the day that Jesus promised to his disciples, a day when the Holy Spirit was sent as their comforter and their advocate. As Jesus said, "When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify because you have been with me from the beginning. This was that day. If the Holy Spirit had not come upon the apostles at Pentecost, who knows how far Christianity would have spread? Those who had known Jesus and followed him would have held on to their belief. Possibly in time, Christianity would have merged back into mainstream Judaism. But look at what the work of the Holy Spirit has done for these millennia. In spite of the brokenness of humanity, despite the fact that we can be like old wine vessels full of old deception, old assumptions and expectations. As we look to the weeks ahead, we are preparing to move back into our sanctuary space for worship. This will bring with it memories and assumptions, expectations and hopes. As we move out of this phase of the pandemic and into more freedom, this will also bring with it assumptions and expectations and hopes. I invite you to think about what those assumptions are and to recognize the new possibilities that lie ahead of us all. The celebration of Pentecost is both a reminder of the power of the Holy Spirit to work miracles through average human beings, and it is the birthday of the Christian church. It is at Pentecost that the disciples make public their faith and start to spread the good news throughout their world. There is the beautiful imagery of the breaking down of barriers. It is expressed in terms of everyone being able to hear the disciples in their own languages. And at this sound, the crowd was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in their native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language?" Language can be a great barrier to hearing the Word of God, but there are other barriers. Pentecost is a reminder that the Holy Spirit is active and preparing to help us get through those barriers, to share the good news of God's unfailing love to all we encounter. We have a message to deliver, and we need to find the language that will deliver it and help it speak to people today. A language that will reach out and touch their lives and their hearts. We need to do this as individuals, and we need to do this collectively as a church. So I want to finish today with a story that is attributed to Irenaeus, a Christian scholar who lived about the same time as Martin Luther. I can't verify that the story is really his, but I still want to share it. And it goes like this. Jesus has ascended into heaven, and the angels have gathered around to learn about his time on earth. Jesus shares his stories, the miracles, his teachings, his death, and even his resurrection. When the story is finished, Jesus is asked, "So what happens now?" And Jesus answers, "I have left behind 11 faithful disciples and a handful of men and women who have faithfully followed me. They will declare my message and express my love. These faithful people will build my church." The angels ask, "But what if the people fail? What is your other plan?" And Jesus responds, "I have no other plan." And I hope that we can see that Jesus did not need another plan. The Holy Spirit empowered the disciples on the day of Pentecost so many, many years ago. And as faithful followers, we must be bold, accepting support from the Spirit as we continue to build the church and to proclaim the good news. If we try to do it with our own strength, we will almost certainly get it wrong. Think again about Peter trying to walk on the water or disputing Jesus' teachings on suffering and dying. It is easy to try to hold on to those things we ought to change, like some of the crowd who gathered on Pentecost and accused the disciples of being drunk, rather than listening to their message. However, if we trust in God and let the Holy Spirit guide us, we will be able to give God's eternal message of love in a way that will speak to others. The message may not be perfect, But the good news is it doesn't have to be perfect. So may we all be open to the Holy Spirit and be equipped to continue sharing the good news of the love of God in Christ Jesus. Amen.